It's like going to an ice cream shop. If you're looking for what church to attend, there are lots of flavors available. Thousands of denominations and internal sub-denominations reflect often contradictory versions of the Christian faith. Today, Erwin Lutzer helps us sort through the complexity and key in on what really matters when selecting a local assembly of believers to join. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his new series on Christians in Conflict. He's helping us understand what happens when beliefs collide and reminds us that the real church is not visible, but invisible.
The invisible church includes the living and the dead. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 14 of Ephesians, he says this very clearly, "The Father before whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." And someday we'll all be together in heaven. And that group of the elect is called in theology the invisible or universal church. Everyone who's a member of it is a born-again believer. But now let's talk about the local church. Let's talk about Moody Church. What can we say about it? First of all, it's a mixed multitude to some extent because we're not God. When you become a member of Moody Church, you are interviewed by someone who asks you your understanding of the gospel. It's not a huge theological test. We just want to know whether or not you've savingly believed on Jesus. About 15 or 20 years ago, I had lunch with a man over at Michael's, and I could go to the table that we were sitting at, who was a member, and he was saying things that were far out there. And he sits there and tells me that in no sense does he want Jesus to bear his sin, that he will bear his own sin for himself and the penalty of it. He said, "I can't expect somebody else to bear my sin." I said, "Of course you can't, but that's where grace and love come in." Now you have to understand, he's sitting on one side of the table and I'm sitting on the other, and I'm sure I took off my glasses. And I looked at him and I said, "If you keep believing what you are believing, you are going to hell." And then he said something very shocking. He says, "If I have to go to hell to bear my own punishment, to hell I will go." Chilling. Now, he was a member of Moody Church. Back then, maybe we weren't very good at screening membership. I think we've maybe improved a little bit on that. But let's not kid ourselves. We don't always know who's saved and who's lost because we can't see the human heart. So you have a mixed multitude in that sense. You also have a lot of people who are part of the church who are not members. And there's another thing that you need to know about the visible church is it is very, very imperfect. My friend, if Moody Church were a perfect church, I would urge those of you who have never joined to be sure that you never join. Because if you joined, it would be perfect no longer. All right? But we're just imperfect sinners. And we recognize that there's carnality, there is all kinds of struggle, there's struggles with sin. Spoke to somebody yesterday who's related to me, who doesn't go to church, a nephew of mine. And he said, "Well, you know, we don't go because there are so many hypocrites in the church." Well, I know there are, but maybe it's better that they are there than any other place. Maybe some of these hypocrites will get converted someday if the gospel is preached. I'd rather have the hypocrites in the church than somewhere else, yes. Now, where does this leave us? How are we unified? Ephesians chapter 4, very briefly. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1. Ephesians 4:1, "I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called." Live up to who you are. You'll notice he says, "with all humility." And now what he says is, we are unified in our attitude. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're patient with one another. We don't insist on our rights. We're not saying it has to be done my way or else I'm out of here. We are willing to forbear and to work with and to bear with one another in the bond of peace. Because, you see, Jesus purchased our unity at high cost. And so we want to walk in the unity that has been created by the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ as Savior. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every church split that ever happened, that one of the requirements before you stand up and go to the microphone in a conference, that one of the requirements would be that you would have humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what the Bible calls us to. And you see, that's why we have to come to church. We have to meet believers who are imperfect, and we have to put up with them and do so in a loving way because we are members of the same body. All right, now, our attitude unites us. Our life unites us. Verse 4, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope." We are unified because we're members of the same body, and when one part of the body hurts, the other part hurts also. We are a part of those who rejoice with those who rejoice, but it isn't just that we're committed to each other. It's because God has metaphysically connected us together. You've had this experience as I have. You can go to another part of the world, and you can meet a believer in Jesus. And even though you've never known him or her, there is a whole area of commonality that you know instantly because they too have been born again of the same Spirit. They are part of the same body. Paul says that you are one. There is one body. There's one Spirit. There aren't many bodies. There aren't many spirits. It's all one. There's one hope by which you were called. If you're a believer here today in Jesus, it's because God called you. And the same call to salvation that I answered at the age of 14 is the same call to salvation that you answered at some point in your life when you believed in Jesus. So what you can see here is that what the Scripture is saying is we are one loaf. We are members of the same body. We share the same attitude. We share the very same life. We're all connected to the head. And we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are one, even with people with whom we disagree, and people who it is difficult to love. We are also united because of our beliefs. Here I'm thinking about the next passage where it says, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism." One Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, that is the body of doctrine that has been given to the church, and that's where the disagreements come, folks, because there are those who leave the one faith, some of us believe, and therefore divisions happen when you leave the faith and the faith that you have in Jesus. So you'll notice it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You almost have to smile because baptism has divided the church, has it not? You have infant baptism, you have believer's baptism, you have different understandings of baptism. There are those who believe that baptism is the entrance into the Christian family. There are those who believe it is simply a sign of the covenant. You have different understandings of baptism. Isn't it interesting that something in the Scripture that should unite us divides us? The same can be said for the Lord's Supper. That's why Melanchthon, one of Luther's associates, said regarding these divisions that they are deserving of tears. And they are deserving of tears. Now, perhaps the baptism that he's talking about is not water baptism, but spirit baptism. There's one baptism. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greek, rich or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit." You see, it's the baptism of the Spirit that puts us into Jesus. It's the baptism of the Spirit that makes you one with him and therefore one with the rest of us. That baptism is never commanded that we should be baptized with the Spirit. Why? Because when you put faith in Jesus, you are baptized with the Spirit and you become the one body that Paul is talking about here. So there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We're united by our attitude, by our common life, by our common belief, the one faith that we have in Jesus. And we're also united by our service. It says in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for work of ministry. There are about 19 different gifts in the New Testament, and that might not be the total. There might be some things that aren't necessarily listed as gifts. And that's the whole purpose of gathering together. We gather to worship, most assuredly, but we also gather to serve. When I say that we have a parking need for those who are willing to sacrifice and have to miss a service once in every 4 or 5 weeks, there should be such an army of people, and by the way, you don't need to be a member to do that. There should be such an army of people willing to sign up that the folks over there at the kiosks that I hope you find say, enough already, we've got more than we can use. When I say that we need children's workers, they should be saying there at the kiosk today, I should get a phone call this afternoon, Pastor, we had so many people who wanted to work with children's ministry that we don't know where they all are going to fit. Wouldn't that be a wonderful phone call? I'll wait for that one. But that's what the body is all about. It's to function. It's to volunteer. It's to sacrifice on behalf of others. It's to say, if I'm part of this, then by God's grace, I am going to be united with believers exercising my gift for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you know, I have to marvel at how diverse God made us. Even when I listen to various preachers preach, there's not one that's the same. Different emphasis, different tone, different approach to Scripture. But at the end of the day, we are all contributing to the same purpose, namely the edification of the saints, strengthening the work of the ministry, enhancing our witness for Jesus Christ in our communities. So don't allow diversity to keep you from involvement. In fact, it should be a spur toward involvement, because this diversity ends up being a means of unity. It becomes the way in which the body of Jesus Christ functions, just like a body, where the fingers and the toes and the ears and the tongue are so different, but all contributing to the benefit and the strengthening of the body. Bottom line, in light of what you've heard today, get involved in your church. Volunteer. Be willing to be trained. Put yourself out there and say, I want to become a part of what God is doing in this special body.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. You've heard part two of Dr. Lutzer's message on When Beliefs Collide, the second in his new series on Christians in Conflict. Yes, Christian groups vary widely, but they do share some common elements, such as the sacraments. Tomorrow, tune in for the basis of real unity. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. Our four-part series on Christians in Conflict can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Christians in Conflict when you call. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.